At this time, the rest of us can take our Bibles and turn into the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 29.
Again, I want to remind you, if you have any questions or have interest in that trip in January to Puerto Rico, please talk to me about it today so that we are all on the same page. Proverbs chapter number 29, first of all. And Isaiah chapter number 8 after that. I mentioned this last week. In thinking and thanking, part of the problem of not thinking about God is there just isn't any thoughts of God, and there is therefore, because no thoughts of God, there's no fear of God. And you might have heard the expression, the fear of the Lord, or I put the fear of God into them, or things like that. We want to talk about that today, because why is it that God would ask us to fear him? Isn't that opposite of trusting him or loving him? In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, I want to first of all look at the wrong kind of fear that there is. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, we all fear. We all fear something or someone. We do. And you say, no, not me. No, I guarantee you, we all fear someone or something. We do. In Isaiah chapter number 8, it says this, in Isaiah 8 and verse 11, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Don't fear their fear. A lot of times, things are sold based on fear. There's a fear that motivates people to sell things. And so a lot of times you'll hear a sales pitch, a commercial, where it's actually driven by a fear of something. Teenagers are sold products based on fear. I remember when I was a kid, there was acne medication commercials. And of course, they would put some sort of scenario where some guy would reject a girl or some girl would reject a guy because he had or she had a pimple. That's a fear-produced commercial, all right? And some of us still live in that fear, by the way. But anyhow, the fear that we use, and humans like to put other humans into fear. Neither fear ye their fear. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. That's the wrong kind of fear. We're not to fear things that are really not the problem, and that fear others, to fear man. And yet, how many times do we fear what someone else might think or say or do because of something that's going to cause something that's going to cause something that's going to be an embarrassment or whatever it might be? There's just the wrong kind of fear. Now, let's look at the right kind of fear. The right kind of fear is also, and I just turned my page away from it, but it's also there in verse 14. Isaiah chapter 8, I read verse 13, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Verse 13 and 14, sanctify the Lord himself and let him be your fear. And let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary. So don't fear them, but fear him. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Over in Psalm 27, in verse number 1, Psalm 27, and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The right kind of fear is to fear the Lord. And then our text verses are in Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse 7. And we will be in Proverbs for a little while from here on out. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You don't need to turn there, but chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. That's the right kind of fear. Let me tell you something. It is necessary that we fear God. God is to be feared. Last night, I was listening to my wood stove. It started to make a funny noise. And so I got up and checked it to make sure all was okay. Why? Because I fear what might happen if something goes wrong. At the same time, that fire is my friend. That fire is warming my home and keeping my house warm and my family warm and my electric bill down, and I appreciate the flame. However, if the flame is used differently, it can be my foe. Fire can be a friend or a foe. Let me tell you something. The Lord is kind of like that, and we need to learn to respect him. The word fear here is to reverence and obey him, to revere him and to respect him. And if you'll notice the context in Proverbs chapter 1, it is in the context of the home. Let's read it again. The fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. I was thinking about our oldest, Caleb. He is young, he is tall, he is strong. He might even be able to beat me in arm wrestling or wrestling match at this point. And yet, there is a godly fear about him. I do believe that if his petite, tiny mother were to tell him something, he would do it. I do believe that not only because of his love for her, but because he has been taught by his father and his mother that he should fear his parents and to fear her law, as it says there in verse number 8, forsake not the law of thy mother, because it's not really her law. Whose law is it? It's God's law. That leads me to my third point, and that is this. It is learned in the home. The fear of the Lord is learned in the home. You see, before we ever really know God one-on-one as our authority, we have somebody else one-on-one that's our authority, and that is our father and our mother. Now, this is where the breakdown happens, because some of you did not have godly father or mother. Maybe you had a moral father or mother, but you did not have a godly father or mother who taught you to fear the Lord. Unfortunately, a lot of people teach their children only to fear them, most importantly. Now, I agree up to a point that those children need to obey their parents, and that should be their final authority in their own minds as they think of it. They should recognize that when they go to school and they get in trouble at school, this is the way it was for me, folks. If I got trouble at school, I was told, you get in trouble at school, you have double trouble at home. And my school was a Christian school, so they actually gave out spankings in my school. You get spanked at school, you're getting it again at home. They never, ever, ever even suggested that it could be that the teacher or the principal or somebody else was wrong and I was right. They were letting me know that they placed me into that authority under their authority, and that I was to recognize that they were the ultimate authority. I recognized it, and then one day I realized that my parents have an authority, and their authority is God. And one day my parents turned over the reins of me to God. And I left home and found out I had a higher authority even than mom and dad, my heavenly father. You see, the fear of the Lord starts in the home. You see where the breakdown has begun. The breakdown has started in the home. And so it just takes a couple generations, and pretty soon we don't fear God because it's not taught, it's not emphasized in our home. Look at verse 29, Proverbs 1:29. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Listen, fearing the Lord is a choice. It is a choice. We choose to fear him or not to fear him. We choose to reverence him and respect him or not. There are people today who choose to not believe there is a God, that there is a creator, that he owns me or he has anything to do with me. They've chosen to believe that. And by the way, it's quite a choice because there's so much evidence that God is creator and that God did create the world and that evolution really has no proof whatsoever. But you choose to believe evolution because you want to say there's no authority. And you want to say, I don't fear God. I don't fear him. He doesn't exist. I don't have to fear him. Well, those of us who know better know that God does exist. It's kind of like standing outside in the middle of the highway today and saying, I don't believe snowplows exist. Well, you can say it all you want. You can think it all you want. You can close your eyes and go, blah, 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 all you want. But pretty soon, there's going to be a belief, a splat. All right? And that's what will ultimately happen to the atheist. That's what will ultimately happen to them. They will finally say he is God and their knee will bow to him. But it is a choice to fear him. It is a choice to recognize who he is and what he is. So then chapter 2, Proverbs 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, Mom and Dad, it is so important that we tell our children, seek it, search it, dig for it, find it. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you will know you need to seek it. You need to cry after it, it says in verse 3. You need to desire it above everything else. Solomon, in his wisdom, as a young man, he was wise before he did some foolish things later on. Solomon understood from his father David the importance of wisdom. And so when God approached him in a dream and said, Solomon, would you like riches or would you like wisdom? Solomon said, I'll take wisdom. I need your wisdom more than anything else. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's who God used to write these verses. And God blessed him and then also gave him riches on top of the wisdom and the knowledge. Folks, it's possible that Let's just pretend that there's somebody that we know, maybe a young man who goes to a place like the School of Mines or something like that, and they do very well in school and they get like super high honors and high grades and I mean they're just the 1/8 of their class. They're just so wow, and they marry a real diggling. Hello, I'm not being funny here. Because I know somebody in this room that's just like that. But that doesn't mean they're smart enough to find the perfect mate that God has for them. And they can build a bridge or maybe build a building or even a huge reservoir dam or something. But it takes more than brains to marry wise, to move to the right place wise, to operate wise. It takes the fear of the Lord. That takes someone saying, besides what my brain, no, I can't take pride in my brain. I have to recognize I am fearful that I'll miss what God has for me. So when I think of the fear of the Lord, I think of the fear of missing what he has for me. The fear of not being exactly where I need to be for him. I don't think of the fear of the Lord as a saved person who's been adopted into God's family. I don't think of the fear of the Lord as, oh, he might zap me with lightning today. Oh, he's going to send me to hell. He's not going to send me to hell. I've been saved. I've been forgiven. But I fear that myself, that my family, that my children may not be all that God intends them to be because we just decide to get our nose pointed in a different direction. Look at chapter 15 and verse 16. Most people get excited about somebody who has some super high honors in some fancy schmancy school because, cha-ching, we think dollars is what makes everything. But look at Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Yeah, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Fear of the Lord is better than riches or a steak dinner. Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You see, folks, I knew, and I'm not saying I knew everything or that I did everything right, but I knew at a young age that I needed help from God when it came to picking a life's partner. I needed help from God when it came to making life decisions. When it came to deciding where to live and what to do and what God would have me to do, I needed help and direction from the Lord. And I also had it demonstrated to me by my own parents that God can do for you what you can't do for yourself, and it really is better to have a dinner of herbs or a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure. It is better to have a little with the fear of the Lord. Now, it's not bad if you have a great treasure and the fear of the Lord. That's great too. But it's better to have a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Riches and honor and life. Look with me in chapter 31. Chapter 31 is the chapter on the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. The godly woman. The strong, spiritually strong woman. A great passage for any mother, grandmother, daughter to be reviewing and reminding each other about. But you get to the very end of the chapter, and it says in verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, just this week, past week, I was in Rapid City on Friday, and I was not doing all that crazy stuff. I was at the chiropractor. My chiropractor is married to a cosmetic salesperson, and they have worked for Herberger's, they've worked for JCPenney's, they work now for another fancy place in the Crossings strip mall there. And he said, my wife has done a study, and they say this is true. They say no matter what the economy, there are three things that always sell well: alcohol, tobacco, and cosmetics. He said none of those are important. They're all vices, but they always do well. Ladies, I'm not picking on anybody, but favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Fearing the Lord is more attractive at age 80 than anything else you can possibly do. Fearing the Lord at age 60, fearing the Lord at age 40, and for those of us who are wise and are spiritually minded, fearing the Lord is more attractive at any age. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It will reward more than favor and beauty. I heard this said before, and I think it's a good thing to say as an illustration. I don't recall any grown man or any older man standing up and saying, I'm so thankful for my mother. She was beauty queen. 1947. I'm so thankful for my mother. She was a model on the runway. No? No, but I have heard men say, I'm so thankful for my God-fearing mother. I'm so thankful for how my mother loved and sacrificed for us. It's learned at home, this fear of the Lord thing. It's learned at home. And by the way, the wrong fear is learned at home too. The wrong way to live with fear. You see, why is it that cosmetics are so important? Because we fear what we might be perceived as. And don't get me wrong, I'd be scared to death if you came in my home before I comb my three hairs. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, not only is it learned in the home, it becomes a way of life. It becomes a way of life. Look back at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, and as you're going back there, I'm just going to read you from Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now, isn't that interesting, verse 26? There's two words in verse 26 that don't seem to go together, and yet they do. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Now, doesn't that seem odd? Doesn't fear and confidence sound like opposites? And yet, fearing the Lord brings strong confidence. Fearing the Lord gives you a confidence because you know where everything settles. You know where it all comes from. You know what the foundation is. You know what's really important. You know what really matters. You know what really is so necessary versus what the world... See, the world says, fear this, fear this, fear this. And so many times we immaturely follow that. We say, oh, I'm scared. I'm scared of what people think. I'm scared of what I look like. I'm scared of my image. And you know what? We need to stop and say, I don't really going to worry about that too much. I'm just going to fear God. And the fear of the Lord brings a strong confidence. Fearing God makes you more confident because you reverence him and you fear him and you realize how good he is to you. Look with me in Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111 and verse number 10. Psalm 111 verse 10, and then look at the very next verse in the next chapter. The fear of the Lord, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. You know why I don't use the word reverend in a title? Sometimes you'll hear a pastor called a reverend. You know why I don't use that title? Because it says it belongs to him. He's the one that's reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now stop and think again. Fear and delight doesn't seem to go together, but they do. Because I fear and respect and awe. I have fire in my home. I delight in that fire. And as long as that fire is used correctly, it's a blessing. It's a delight to us. It's a blessing to our soul and our body. We thank God for the ability to have a wood stove to keep our house warm, especially last night. There are so many other things that we delight in God, and yet we fear him at the same time. We respect him. We know the rules. We know the parameters. We know the standard and the convictions and the guidelines that he wants us to follow, and we do not dare cross them. We do not dare leave the wood stove open, and we do not dare allow things to get plugged up. We do not dare. Why? Because we fear what could happen if we start to do the wrong thing, and yet we love him, and we can delight in him. We delight in the Lord because we know that his ways are right. I was talking with someone just this past week about flying an airplane. This is a great illustration. And some of you have flown airplanes, you know what I'm talking about. There is instrument flying, and then there's flying by the seat of your pants. There's instrument flying, and then there's flying by feeling and by eyesight. When you first start to fly, of course, you're just learning, and so you're just kind of looking out the window. But they say that your equilibrium and your balance and everything can fool you, and you can, and someone was just telling me this past week, that a man flew a fighter jet into the runway in a California runway several years ago upside down and landed that plane upside down and crashed and drove himself into the ground. Why? Because he thought for sure he was right side up and the instruments were wrong. there's other stories. We have a video in our library about some people who during World War II took off from Italy, and they were supposed to land on the other side of the Mediterranean in Libya at the base there, and they never were heard from again. And for about two or three decades, there was no trace. Nobody could understand what happened to them. What happened to this plane? And finally, out in the Sahara, way south of Libya, they found the plane and the wreckage and the skeletons of the men who tried to walk back north. What happened? They determined that what happened is there was a strong tailwind that night, and instead of taking 3 hours, it only took 2 hours. And because it only took 2 hours, the pilot couldn't believe his instruments, couldn't trust them. They must be wrong. We can't be there yet. And he kept going. I fear not believing my instruments. I fear deciding it feels different. I'm going to go with my feelings. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about when it talks about living by your feelings? Flying by the seat of your pants. Making your own decisions based on how you feel at the time. When the instruments say, do it this way. Oh, but those instruments can't be right. It just doesn't feel right. It can't be right. Instruments are always right. At least these are. So I fear not fearing him. I fear not respecting him. And I delight greatly in his commandments. That's what gives us the wisdom and the knowledge. It really is all him. And so if someone says, well, the Lord really blessed you. Amen. The Lord blessed, because it all really is him. It's not us. It's not our own ability. Look with me over here in Hebrews chapter number 11. What the fear of God can do for someone. Hebrews chapter number 11. In verse number 6. Speaking of feelings, the rock and roll crowd is all about that. Real famous song, Feels So Right, Can't Be Wrong. Do-do-do-do-do. Feelings. We are all about feelings. We even try to incorporate God into our feelings. God will not do that. I fear trying to change God's instruments to fit what I feel and what I want to feel. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want to please him, and I fear not pleasing him. The other night, if you were here Wednesday night, we had a little game for our praise time. Mr. Day put a little game together about newlyweds or oldlyweds. And they were asking the spouses questions. What does your spouse fear the most? What do they fear the most? One answer, I fear that my children won't live for the Lord. I fear that I won't please him like I should. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now, I don't believe that God came down from heaven and turned on a blowtorch and lighted Noah's rear end on fire and said, get to work and build that ark. No, I don't think that's what motivated Noah. But he was moved with fear. And the fear was, God says, I better build an ark. I'm going to build it. God says it's going to rain. I don't even know what that is, because that never had rain before, but I'm going to get ready. I fear God's word. So what does this have to do with us? Let me ask you a question. How many corrupt politicians would we have if they feared the Lord? How many under-the-table deals would there be if they feared the Lord? How many stabbings, how many murders would there be if they... See, when there's a murder, someone didn't fear the Lord. See, this has to do with our whole life. And let me tell you something. You and I used to live in a God-fearing nation. And you can make all the laws you want to. The problem is that we don't fear the Lord. And if we'll get back to fearing the Lord, there will be riches and honor and life. There will be blessing. There will be contentment. There will be joy and peace. And Noah, moved with fear, said, I'm going to do what God said. And everybody laughed at him. You're building a huge boat. This is stupid. You're miles from the ocean. It's not going to rain. It's never rained in the history of the world. Well, it did. God's people are positively moved, positively motivated by fear. Look at chapter 13, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Or we're coming full circle again. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So why can't you boldly say, I'll not fear what man can do unto me? I guess as a child of God, I guess I'd have to say as a child of God, my greatest fear is myself blowing it. Because I have access to all that I need. My greatest fear is myself not obeying my Father. Not doing what my God's given me the opportunities to do. My greatest fear is to taking the easy road. My greatest fear is to be like King David, who had so much going for him that one day said, you know, I don't think I'm going to go out to battle today. I think I'm going to kick back and watch cartoons. I don't know if he watched cartoons, but he stayed home. And the Bible says that kings went forth to battle in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and he stayed home. And then after he stayed home, he slept in, being lazy, he got up, yawned and stretched, and he'd already disobeyed some of God's laws because he was multiplying wives, as the Bible told us and told him in Deuteronomy, not for kings not to multiply wives, just have one. And King David had already kind of gotten an appetite for women and wives, plural, and he looked out the window and saw a woman bathing. And because his appetite was already for plural wives, he wanted to know who she was. Now listen, if he was already married and he understood that God wanted him to be a one-woman man, it wouldn't have mattered who she was because it wasn't for him. But David disobeyed rule number one and rule number two and rule number three, and eventually it caught up with him and cost him his family. And cost his children, who were innocent of the whole thing, cost them their lives as well. That's what I fear. I fear not doing what I know God expects me to do. Not because I wake up every morning with this God breathing down my neck and going, you better. No, because I have a God who says, I've got so much for you. Don't listen to what Satan wants you to do. I've got so much I want to give you. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to your flesh and your feelings. Keep following the instruments. A young man named Joseph in the book of Genesis was approached by a married woman who said, come, lie with me. And here's this Joseph. He's a slave in a foreign country. Nobody even knows he's alive. No, none of his family. Nobody knows he still exists. And she says in Genesis 39, I think it is 37, 39, she says, come lie with me. And Joseph says, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say what some of us might think, oh, I can't sin against your husband. He's my boss. We might get caught. See, that's a fear of man. Star Academy used to be here in Custer, the juvenile center. And I tried to tell the boys and the girls a lot. I'd say, young people, you're behaving. Some of you are behaving so much better than you ever did. Some of you haven't gotten into trouble and haven't done this, this, or this in so long, and you're doing so well. And then I would point to the camera in the corner of the room. And I'd point to the staff member in the back of the room. And I'd say, but I'm afraid it's because they are watching. But what happens when you go home and there's no more camera and there's no more staff? Then who's watching? I said, that's why you need to understand who is watching. You see, the reason why it's a sin is not because we got caught or someone saw it. It's a sin because vertically somebody's always watching. It really doesn't matter horizontally what everybody else thinks. It really matters this way. And sometimes this way everybody's against us, and this way it's all good, and that's all that matters. Fearing the Lord. And Joseph said, I fear God. I'm not going to do this. It cost him his job. He got thrown into prison. She lied about him. She made up a story. He did the right thing and it cost him. But God still rewarded him in the end. We all fear someone. We all fear someone. I just want to suggest to you who it should be. We all are afraid of someone or something. But let me suggest to you who it needs to be. Because then when it happens, and it will happen, there'll be a confrontation with another human being. It might be your friend, Gunner. It might be your friend at school who wants to entice you to do wrong, as it says back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. And sinners entice you, consent thou not. But if you fear your peer pressure friend, you might do it rather than fearing the one you should fear. Or it could be your spouse. Hey, I don't think we have too many men leading the home as much as we have women leading the home. And according to the word of God, God would have the man to be the head of the home. Not because the men's always the most smartest, but because that's the picture he wants to give our children. And so there are times when the spouses can lock horns. And you might have to make the decision that needs to be made, but you don't want to make it because compromise with the family in the present is so much better than obeying the God above you. Am I talking nonsense, or do you think there's people in our world that compromise with their family rather than obeying their God? There's people that they go to a different church that really isn't the church they should be going to, but it's because that's what mama wants, or that's what spouse, or that's what the children want, and they allow somebody else to dictate. So you understand, I got to live with that person. I do understand that. But you know who I have to live with more than anybody? God. I have to lay my head on my pillow and wonder if God is pleased with my life. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Back in Matthew chapter 10, we're almost done. Matthew chapter 10, and then Malachi is just a few pages backwards from Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. We talk so much about the Second Amendment and defending ourselves. And yet I'm afraid that we put so much emphasis on defending our body that we're not even focused on what really matters. Jesus said, don't fear the one that can kill your body. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Don't trade godly fear for some other fear. People are dying and going to hell because they don't want to admit they need to be saved. They need to trust in Christ. And they'd rather go with the flow than to admit that they're wrong. Sometimes it's because they don't want to admit to the family, we've been doing it wrong. Maybe grandmother just passed away and there's really no hope. There's really no indication that grandma was a Christian. And now all of a sudden someone finds the truth and they either have to say, you know what? I now know what the truth is and I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. But in doing so, they are disrespecting grandma's way. Well, what are you going to fear? What the family thinks? Are you going to allow that to be number one? Or are you going to recognize What's most important? Don't die and go to hell based on a fear. Understand who loves you the most. I mentioned the three hairs on my head. It says right here, he's got them all numbered. He knows exactly everything about me. I fear not pleasing him. I fear not doing what he wants me to do. In Malachi chapter 3, this is the last place. This is what God says he does for those who fear him. Malachi 3, verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. He remembers those who fear him. I mentioned Joseph. He took care of Joseph. Better is a little in the present with the fear of the Lord than great treasure but trouble therewith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when we fear something else, we fear the wife, we fear the children, we fear the boss, we fear this, we fear our neighbor, we fear whatever it might be, we fear the image we might lose, the reputation we might get tarnished because people will start to talk about this. We start fearing other things, horizontal things. Oh my, we pay for it in the end. But if we'll fear the Lord, it will reward in the long run. It will pay to serve and to fear him. I fear my God. I'm not afraid of him, but I fear the Lord. I don't know that my children are always God-fearing. I don't even think their dad's always God-fearing. But I do fear the Lord, and I want him more than anybody to smile upon me. If it means everybody else in this room hates my guts, I need him to smile upon me. That's what it means to fear God above everything else. Do you fear the Lord? Let's bow our heads for a moment. I just have one question to ask. This is most important. Is there someone that would say, Pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd be in heaven. I don't know if I died that I would be in heaven. I'm afraid I'd be in hell. Does that scare you today? Are you afraid of that? Please, God is not trying to be your monster. He's trying to be your friend. Will you fear that enough to go turn your heart to him and trust him? Is there anyone that would say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd be in heaven. Anyone at all? You can lift your hand, look at me. Pastor, that's me. Anybody? The rest of it, I think, is fairly self-explanatory. Do you fear the Lord, or do you fear losing favor with somebody else? What are you trading it for? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you give us the opportunity to fear you. And we choose to do so or not. Lord, help us to choose it more often, that we would live in a godly fear. We're so afraid of the present, of the uncomfortable situation, of what's going to happen if we take the hard road. But Lord, help us to know you see it all. You watch it all. You're recording everything. Lord, help us to live like people who really fear you. May it be so real that our family knows it, everybody else knows, that you are number one. You matter most. And may it also be seen as a reward that others would recognize that is the right way to go. And I do pray for my children, no matter what they have in this world, that they would know that what the true wealth and the true wisdom and the life companion can only come through your direction and guidance. I pray for all the children in that way. And we thank you, God, for just the privilege of knowing you. In Jesus' name. Amen.